This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
This is Charlottesville Right Now on the station that is first with local news, News Radio 1070, with best-selling author Coy Barefoot.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. It's 10 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. 5:10 on the clock on the wall, and it is cold outside. Mighty cold. I was just out there.
How cold is it, Coy?
It is so cold, and I never know what to say. But it is cold. I ain't Johnny Carson. It is so cold outside. Freezing. It's a kind of cold where you would, like, if you got to walk a pet, well, I guess it would be a dog. If you have to walk a dog, you can't really stand out there and wait for them to go. You just say, all right, you're going inside, and I don't care if you miss because it's too cold.
We let our golden retriever out this morning, and we have a ramp coming up to the kitchen because she's an elderly dog, so I had to build like a handicap ramp.
Oh,
but it was covered with snow.
You're one of the good ones.
Covered with snow this morning.
How about that snow?
And Chloe's looking at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, you got to go down that ramp. She was not too excited about it.
What was it like where you are? Was it completely covered?
There was a dusting.
Yeah. We have friends in Stanton that said, on the hills in Stanton, who said they had about an inch or two. And there were 6 or 7 school districts down in the Roanoke area that were actually closed today because of snow. How about that?
I didn't know that, Coy.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So let me get this out of the way really quick first. Let's open up the phone lines at 977-1070. This Sunday, November 23rd, from 6 to 9 p.m., Charlottesville Fashion Square Mall will host the annual Evening of Giving. And that's where you basically you get a ticket to go into the mall, and all the stores have these really big discounts. And it's supposed to get your shopping started. That's what it is. Get your shopping season going. But this is a private event. You have to have a ticket to get into the mall to get all these discounts at all the mall stores. So I got a bunch of tickets. And you got to come get them, though, because it's Sunday. It's this coming Sunday. So make sure you come in tomorrow, Thursday, pick them up. I've got 2 pairs of tickets. So that's 4 tickets all day, 2 pairs of tickets. We will give them to caller number 5. Leon, can you hear me? Caller number 5 and caller number 8. Each caller will get 2 pairs of tickets for you and a friend to go to Fashion Square Mall this coming Sunday night to get... to go enjoy the Evening of Giving at Charlottesville Fashion Square Mall. It's a big event, and it'll get you into the mall so you can get all the big discounts at all the mall stores. Caller number 5 and caller number 8 each get a pair of tickets. So what do you think about this bailout for the auto makers?
I have real problems with it.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow.
I mean, I don't know much about this kind of big economic stuff, but... I've got real problems with it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, where do you stop then?
Yeah. I want to be bailed out. Where do I get in line?
But speaking of cars.
Yes.
And 29 North, let me just say, I have some good news, Coy.
Really? About 29 North?
I do. I think Lynchburg and Danville, they're very concerned about 29 North.
They want a bypass.
And what I can tell you is it's working just fine.
29 North?
Yes. Really? Based on my research.
What happened?
I was in rush hour. Rush hour is 5 to 6, right?
Yeah, I usually say around here it starts a little earlier, though, because of the university, because you have a lot of people who go to work early in the hospital. And I usually say here it might start
Friday
around
night,
4:30.
Friday
4
night,
o'clock.
Last Friday.
Yeah.
I'm driving up 29. And, okay, now people need to keep in mind that the traffic lights on 29, some are in the city, like Hydraulic Road South.
That's the city.
That's the city's timing system.
Yeah.
From there north, you're on VDOT's timing system. So that's a little bit of a problem.
Why it bottlenecks at Hydraulic?
It is. And yeah. I've pointed out to them, it'd be real nice if they put Angus Road and Hydraulic on the VDOT system, and then, of course, add that other lane near Best Buy.
Yeah.
And that would really smooth things out.
But yeah, absolutely.
I'm also not a traffic engineer, but that's my...
I wonder why they don't do
that's
it,
That's my back-of-the-envelope assessment of that
yeah.
problem. But once you get on the VDOT lights, we reported recently that they improved the timing of the lights. So I said to my daughter, Abby, we were driving up 29 North, I said, let's watch the lights. and see how we do in rush hour traffic on 29. So we get through the hydraulic road intersection. I'm like, okay, Abby, now we're on. Guess when we hit the first stoplight?
At
the first gas station.
The first gas station.
In Greene County.
At the Sheets?
At the Sheets. We didn't hit a red light. Now, granted, I was going the speed limit. But if going the speed limit, 29 North, rush hour traffic.
You didn't hit a stoplight.
We were green until
the Sheets.
Till Greene County.
And you know what? I won't say that's absolutely amazing because I've done that same thing.
But I'd never done it.
I've done the
between
same thing
5 and 6
in a rental truck, in one of those big rental trucks. I've never hit a stoplight all
the
way up.
I've done it on weekends. I've done it in the mornings.
But never in rush hour
heading the opposite direction, but never heading the direction everyone else is going.
Now, so why are people complaining?
Now, I'll admit, at one stop, I had to sort of cheat a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the car didn't stop moving. I can say that. I said, Abby, you're going to give me this one? She's like, I'll give it to you, Dad.
That's great.
But otherwise.
You never had to stop the car until the Sheets.
Until the Sheets and up in Greene County.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just my.
So I wonder why people are complaining.
My little experience on 29.
Because it is the most trafficked area?
There's probably a big accident on 29 right now, and everyone's sitting there thinking.
No, we would know.
Brian, why aren't you
here now? Our listeners let us know. It something's working, obviously.
So I think they have made improvements. That's the point of this.
What do we need to do, though, to get the city to time their lights so that we don't have that bottleneck on hydraulic?
You know, it's probably money. Probably would take some money to rewire everything, and that's in short supply.
Isn't it like just resetting a clock, though? Can't you just open the back of something?
I think they got to hook them up. I think they got to be part of the same sort of network of.
Oh, so we're talking about wires and.
I would think so.
Hmm. Well, that would be a nice thing.
I'm not a traffic engineer.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville, tomorrow for our Tuesday growth and development discussion. Let us take a very quick break, and when we get back, we'll talk about the very latest about that big hotel downtown. We'll talk about the new Whole Foods. Will we ever see that? We'll find out when we get back. Stay with us.
Tonight on The Best Seat in the House.
Whatever feelings a team has.
Give a gift certificate to the Aberdeen Barn, a prime dining experience since 1965. Holiday gift certificates are available now. The Aberdeen Barn, Holiday Drive, Charlottesville. Time for
me to fly. 18 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia. It's mighty cold out there tonight. It's in the 30s. Going to be even colder tonight. Had a little dusting of snow this morning. That was mighty pretty. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. Join us tomorrow on the program. We'll talk with Terry McAuliffe. He wants to be your governor. What do you think? I just heard a bunch of people roll their eyes.
Were you talking to me?
Hey, we took the kids to a Cracker Barrel this past weekend for breakfast.
Over in Waynesboro?
Yeah. Boy, that's good. What's your favorite breakfast food? You could sit down and have the nicest, biggest spread of any kind of breakfast food in the world. What do you pick?
I guess I would go for a Western omelet.
Omelet. You're an omelet guy.
With hash browns and bacon.
With the ketchup on your hash browns?
No.
Just
salt and pepper.
What?
No
ketchup on that
table?
No
ketchup anywhere.
Brian Wheeler! Shame on you!
I bust that out at lunch.
Shame on you. Really?
Yep.
You have hash browns without ketchup?
Yeah, that's true. Do you put ketchup on your baked potato?
Of course.
No, you don't.
I promise I do.
Oh, that's weird.
I put it on my pizza, Brian.
Okay.
Well, I love ketchup.
You're giving me a hard time?
You know,
you're going to lose your invitation to Pie Day if you're not careful.
I love ketchup. I can't help it.
You don't put ketchup on pie, do you?
No.
Thank you.
I do put it on pizza. Rice, white rice. You know, you don't put it on white rice?
No,
I grew up with that. Black-eyed peas?
No.
Oh, gosh. Goodness.
You don't want to cover up the flavor of black-eyed peas?
My family, when we got at the dinner table, the ketchup bottle was in the middle like this god, and we would all just sort of sit around and stare at it. Hey, get your hands off that. That's mine. And just sort of pass it around. Good stuff. My favorite would be grits. Just give me a big bowl of grits.
I grew up in Atlanta, and I did
We're
not,
both from Atlanta.
And I did not learn to love grits until I moved to Virginia.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, my mom had it almost every morning.
I don't know what I was thinking. Same thing with pizza. I didn't like pizza until I was in high school.
Where are you from?
And I lost years of pizza. We used to go to everybody's at Emory.
Oh, yeah.
Emory. Did you ever go there?
I know exactly where that is. When I was a kid, I lived like two blocks from there.
We used to go to Emory.
You remember Hortons? It was around the corner from everybody's. It was a Five and Dime?
No.
Okay. It's now the bookstore. Everybody's right there on the corner.
Great pizza.
Right in Emory.
My
very
parents
good pizza.
And all their friends would order pizza.
Yeah.
And I'd get like a bowl of plain spaghetti with butter on it or something.
Why? Difficult
or
child?
Or I'd get a sandwich. And then I would eat the crust, whatever leftover crust there was, I would eat. I was a difficult child. I was very picky about my eating.
You know, people were sort of whispering back and forth, why isn't Brian eating the pizza? What's
That's
wrong with
strange.
Him?
He's
a
strange
Atlanta
child.
Boy. Why ain't he eating no pizza?
But anyway, then I learned to like pizza.
And grits.
So I was a late developer on the food front.
Well, there you go. Well, we want to recommend the Cracker Barrel over there in Waynesboro. It's good stuff. We don't have one here, do we?
We do not. Although I'll bring that up in the second half hour.
Okay. Well, we might get one.
No, but it was mentioned in a development meeting last week.
It's one of those things that when you go to another town, you're like, why doesn't Charlottesville have this?
But people, when they talked about it, they weren't saying kind words about it.
So. About Cracker Barrel?
Yeah, so we'll come back to that.
Well, it's a short drive.
Oh,
hop over the mountain and come down there in Waynesboro. It's mighty good. But we do have a hotel in the making and a possible Whole Foods in the making that for some reason can't stay out of the news. What is this?
It is. I tell you, every morning I go to get the paper, I'm like, I hope there's another headline about the Landmark Hotel or the blogs or, you know, I'm reading the headlines everywhere. But Landmark Hotel, Halsey Miner and Lee Danielson partnered up for that. Of course, you know, the building has a roof on it now, or at least a top on it.
Yeah, it's huge.
And a 9-story hotel.
That's where the big crane is downtown.
And they've been banging away on it for the past several months. But you keep reading the paper and it's like, we don't have the money. No, we do have the money. We're paying everybody. No, we're not. Yes, I am.
We're going to stop work.
You don't know what you're doing.
We're going to stop work.
You're just a technology guy. You don't know what you're talking about. And then I think the last quote, and Rick Daniels on WINA was laughing about this morning, was that Halsey Miner said if they were working on that hotel Monday, then Lee Danielson was the best developer in the world.
And so he must be.
And they were hammering away yesterday, I can tell you that.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what's going on with those two, but I'm glad I'm not working for one of them.
It's so funny for those of us who've been around a while to see Lee Danielson drama back in the papers. It's just so funny because, of course, his first big project here, which was the Ice Park and the movie theater on the downtown mall, was full of drama because he was the guy that said, okay, I'll build it here, but you got to give me a mall crossing, back when no cars crossed the mall.
Got the mall crossing.
And he wanted at 2nd Street, I want people to be able to come down here and drop people off to go to the movie theater in the Ice Park.
There were some shenanigans about the side of the building, the brick.
Constantly.
Something.
Yeah.
He wanted to change the plans
or
the light fixtures.
Every week there was some new drama about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I know him enough to say, you know, he would love if there was no drama. But for some reason, there's always drama with these Lee Danielson projects.
So the Landmark Hotel, the headlines are ping-ponging back and forth, and that made me think about Whole Foods, because when I did pick up the Daily Progress this morning at the mailbox.
Big article.
In the snow. It said, you know, future unclear for Whole Foods. But then if you read the article, sometimes the headline doesn't match the article, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So
often.
If you read the reporter's actual work on the story, it appeared to me to be what I said on the radio last week, which was that the city had received a plan and they were actively reviewing it and they were actively in discussions with the Whole Foods people, and that the Whole Foods people were not commenting, which was our experience. We called everybody up the chain. They wouldn't say a word. Daily Progress went a little bit further and spoke to Red Light Management, Corin Capshaw's group, who's involved in this.
I didn't even know he was involved in it.
And they weren't saying much of anything. So
he owns the land, is that it? Or is he developing the land?
You know,
for Whole Foods to come in and build a building.
I don't know which LLC is involved in this, Coy. but he is involved. And so I saw that headline. I was like, oh, gosh, Coy's going to give me a hard time because now he's going to say I was wrong last week. And but then I was reassured on the way over here. I pulled up Channel 29's website, and they have a headline on there. It'll be on the news tonight, I assume. Quote, city spokesperson says Whole Foods store plans still in the works. So
which is what you reported a week ago right here.
That's right.
On WINA.
So I think this one's going to ping pong back and forth as well.
Interesting.
And Channel 29.
So you think it'll get built?
Channel 29 reported, we are told construction of the Whole Foods store has stopped to deal with some runoff issues. Well, the runoff issues are what we reported on a while back. We were over there taking pictures of that neighborhood.
Well, it takes 29 a while, Brian.
Inundated.
But, yes, it does.
This may be a new runoff problem. I don't know. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that one.
So if somebody's driving over there on hydraulic today and they look over there, that still will be where the old Terrace Triple Theater was. There is going to be a Whole Foods there at some point one day.
It's going to be something in there. And the other thing I can tell you is I saw somebody commenting on a website this morning saying, how on earth could we support two Whole Foods? And that's not what's happening. They're not adding
a second
one.
No, they're going to close the other one up at Shoppers World.
That's right.
Where Staples is. And they're going to open this new one, which is going to have a parking garage. And supposedly it's going to be a lot bigger.
Right. And have a, yeah.
But we still don't know. It was supposed to be an Albemarle Place. What's the latest on that? They still going to build that?
Well, that's another one where a new developer is involved. They've submitted something the county's reviewing. So they're starting that process over again of doing the site plan and changing it. And we have not investigated that one yet. But, you know, I think the market is going to mean that a lot of these projects are delayed.
Yeah.
And
a lot of these projects, we need to get used to the fact that the city is reviewing plans or... You know, this is how it's going to be for a while. We're
not
going to
be as exciting as
of
our past stories.
Were. Exactly. We're not going to see a lot of new buildings and new roads because they're just going to be being worked on and being on the drawing board. And that'll be the news.
But we've got some, you know, people drive by these things. They see dirt being moved and they want to know what's happening. And
yeah.
Is to go or not is the immediate question. And that's a reasonable question.
Well, it won't go unless we bail out those car companies who, you know, ran their companies into the ground.
Bail out all the real estate developers.
Golly. Arg. Hey, we're going to break for local news and weather. When we get back, let's continue this conversation on the other side. What do we got coming up?
We're going to talk about the water supply, of course. And there's a little lawsuit up at North Point.
Ooh.
And then we can talk about Cracker Barrel.
All right. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Your home for good grits and pizza. We'll be right back.
In constant sorrow all through his...
It's everybody charged up.
WINA's Cavalier Call-In is brought to you by the Brown Auto Group, SNL Financial LC, and the Student Bookstore on the flagship station for UVA Sports. News Radio 1070, WINA.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
You think that I can hold on to a dress for 10, 15 years? I don't trust the people around him, and I just want you to have that for you. Put it in a baggie, put it in a Ziploc bag, and you pack it in with your treasures.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong.
Thirty-seven minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia, I'm Coy Barefoot. Happy Tuesday, November 18th, 2008. I hope you're having a wonderful evening and a nice ride home. Hope you're getting a nice dinner ready. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Tuesday growth and development discussion. We were talking during the break, speaking of dinner, looking at this menu. Everybody's Pizza is actually...
The listeners should know Coy has dug up the Everybody's Pizza menu.
It looks good, doesn't
it? From Emory University down in Atlanta.
There's got to be one or two people out there who know what we're talking about, because this is good Atlanta pizza.
Maybe one person knows what we're talking about. But Coy's hungry, folks.
They got pizza salads. They got big old salads and pasta and pizza sandwiches. My goodness. And sweet tea, too. That's good stuff.
Love sweet tea.
I was telling you, that's what I was raised on. That was like water in my house. Literally, there was always a pitcher on the counter. And it was not a big pitcher, and it had two or three cups of sugar in each little pitcher. So, you could see the sugar at the bottom.
I'm thinking you started your day with a big bowl of Captain Crunch, too.
Yeah, with sugar on top. And I'm not kidding, but I wish I was.
Let's talk books.
Yes.
Because you were asking me about Barnes & Noble.
This is a big story, Brian.
It is.
You're going to break it right here?
No. This is old news.
But it's a big story.
Well, you know, I didn't think
it was. No pun intended. Books.
I feel bad. Oh, that's funny.
Why do you feel bad?
Because I didn't think it was going to be a big story. I heard Barnes & Noble's moving to the Goodies.
Right? Yeah, where they had that temporary Halloween store.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what's the big deal about that? They're just moving in Barracks Road up the street a little bit. And then I come to find out, fortunately our staff were there listening to this, but I find out that they're tearing down the Goodies and building a two-story Barnes & Noble.
Oh, that's a big story.
It is big. Well, Daily Progress covered this. I'm sure others did.
So the Goodies at Barracks Road, they're going to tear down that part.
Tearing it down.
So from the Bed Bath & Beyond, where that ends, over to the road next to the post office. That's all going to come down.
Yep.
They're going to build a new two-story Barnes & Nobles right there.
And it's funny, you know, we talk a lot about two-story retail in this area and the fact that we don't have any of it. But often you will hear groups come in and talk about how at developments like Hollymead Town Center or North Point or 5th and Avon, you've got groups lobbying for a different kind of building. Instead of a big box wrapped in a parking lot, you know, try to have a multi-story, mixed-use kind of development. And in this case, multi-story, meaning the retail's on multi-story, the feedback that often comes from the development community is we don't have the density to support that kind of development. Now, obviously, Barnes & Noble has figured that the best thing they can do is go up in this case.
Because
they obviously like that location. And it wasn't big enough at the Goodies, wasn't big enough where they were, so they're going to go vertical.
I wonder if they're going to put it in the music? Because that's a big question. They're going to sell... Because a lot of those, like Borders and those big Barnes & Nobles, they have music sections where you can buy CDs.
Yeah.
And they're like big music sections with lots
Maybe
of music.
So. I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about?
I have seen that, yes.
And for folks who've been to Colonial Williamsburg...
I don't get out of town very much.
Down in Colonial Williamsburg, there is the William & Mary bookstore is actually part of a Barnes & Noble that's on Dog Street, Duke of Gloucester Street. That's two stories. And deep, it's deep as a city block. That's the biggest one I've seen. There's clothes, and because it's the William & Mary bookstore, so there's clothes and music and two stories, and it's huge and really nice.
That one apparently is moving forward, and of course we'll see if once there's a big hole in the ground there, maybe the headlines will start ping-ponging on this project as well.
Yeah, a little drama. But what's do we have any idea what the timeline is?
I don't. I'm quickly scanning the Daily Progress story here, but can't find it.
My hope would be that they would have enough shelves. Let me tell you my biggest pet peeve of the Barnes & Nobles over there in Barracks Road.
Tell me.
When you take a book off the shelf, you cannot get it back on the shelf.
Really?
There's no room. How did this fit on there in the first place?
Spring mechanism at the end of each shelf?
It must be. It's very strange. Try it out. You'll see what I'm talking about. It's actually difficult to squeeze it back in there. I usually just end up laying it on top.
Oh, I just look at the spines. I don't pull any books off the shelf.
Oh. So new Barnes & Noble in Barracks Road. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to be two stories. And the big question is, what's going to happen to the Barnes & Nobles where it is now?
I don't know that.
Because that's a big space.
It is. I'm more interested now, so I will go find out.
All right, you follow that one. Let me know. Let's talk a little water.
So what do you think's going on with the water supply right now?
Talk about drama. The very latest, I think, is the city has said we don't want to move forward with the dam. We want to stop construction on the dam.
Well, the RWSA already said that. They already said let's wait and study.
Yeah.
And the city said, well, okay, we think that's a good
Because all this
idea.
Gets back to the fact that it was a lot more expensive than we had been told. And the price keeps going up and up and up. And now the elected leaders are like, wait a minute. We can't keep committing to this because this is very, very different from what we thought we were getting into. This is outrageously expensive, which some of the citizen group, that's what they've been saying all along. This is a lot more expensive than you realize. But you know what? One key thing here, and then I'll let you talk about this because you know a lot more about it than I do. But one key thing that I think people don't understand here is that much of this water supply has to do with drought, right?
Well, it's drought and growth. It's both.
And growth.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need
That's what the 50-year water supply is.
The idea behind the 50 years was take care of drought conditions and take care of expected growth in the community.
All those homes that are in the pipeline.
Yeah. So you think back to the 50-year plan approved in 2006. Think about the thousands of homes that have been approved in the city and county. It's not just growth in the county, but think about all the infill development that's been approved in the city of Charlottesville, too. But you take big projects like Biscuit Run, 3,100 homes. North Point, I want to say that was 900. Hollymead Town Center, 1,200 additional units recently approved there in one part of it. So a lot of those developments were approved with the idea there was a plan for water. For down the road. And, of course, UVA is going to continue growing. And we've been trying to look at UVA's water usage, and it looks like their usage, preliminary data here, I'm not ready to write this up in print, but preliminarily it looks like 2005 UVA's usage bottomed out, and it's been increasing ever since. So fiscal year 2005 seemed to be the low point, and it's been going up since then. Now, it's dramatically lower than where it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, because they've been making a lot of efforts to
But it is on the increase again.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, where are we with this water thing? Well, you've got the city and county at odds, and because the city passed city council passed a resolution requesting, among other things, as you said, you know, while we're in this dead time with the new dam, let's study how we got into this position. Let's study all the assumptions that went into this 50-year plan. So they have called for, I think it was about 5 new studies for things like, you know, how much water can we conserve? Let's look at the demand model that was used to figure out how much water we're going to need 50 years from now.
Yeah.
Let's look at what it would cost to dredge the South Fork and how much capacity you get back. The citizens group, Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan, I've always given them credit on this show for bringing the dredging discussion into a clearer light so that we can get some facts about what it will take to dredge that reservoir and how difficult that is or easy or whatever. And so that will be part of what the city council wants to see. And, of course, they've already got this task force meeting. So the task force is the stewardship task force. That's the little subgroup that's looking at just South Fork. What's the future for South Fork? For recreation, for rowing, for water supply. And dredging is part of that conversation. I'm going to come back to that in a second. And then the last thing is these other studies, you know, look at the dam, what can be done to fix it versus build a new one, and then also look at the cost of a pipeline, both between the two reservoirs and then also possibly replacing the one or fixing the one from Sugar Hollow up on the Shenandoah National Park all the way down to Ragged Mountain. So anyway, the city wants to study everything. Instead of firing off a competing resolution, the Board of Supervisors just said, time out, let's all get back together. So next week is a meeting of the 4 boards, and this probably hasn't happened since, I don't, you know, maybe back when they approved the plan. I mean, it's been several years since the 4 boards all got together. Now, the 4 chairs have gotten together, but never the 4 full boards.
So that's a very big deal.
It is.
Hold on a minute, Brian.
Yeah.
It's a News Radio 1070 WINA traffic update.
Traffic update
driven by Price Kia on Pantops Mountain.
Rob Graham joins us live in studio with a situation.
Earliesville Road. There's been an accident on Earliesville Road in the vicinity of Panorama Farm, and Earliesville Road is blocked in both directions. So try to avoid that in this busy commuter time. I know it's tough to do, but Earliesville Road blocked in both directions due to an accident in the vicinity of Panorama Farm.
Is that on this side or that side of the airport?
It's on this side of the airport and that side of the reservoir.
I got you. I know exactly where you are.
Uh-huh.
So you got to go up 29 and cut over then.
Yeah, be your best bet. If you have to head to Earliesville and you have the opportunity to get off Earliesville Road or not use that, go to use 29 and go over the airport instead and around that way.
Great.
You'll eventually hit Earliesville Road at the airport.
There you go. Rob Graham with the very latest, and we'll have a full report for you at the top of the hour. If you're out that way and you can give us an update, we appreciate it. 977-1070. Let us know what you're looking at. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and we're going to continue the discussion in just a few seconds.
Tonight on The Best Seat in the House.
Whatever feelings a team has, positively or negatively, the results of the last game, that's over with.
Al Groh and the Cavaliers prepare for Clemson. We'll break it down with Jeff White of the Times-Dispatch and former Cavaliers Sean Moore. Plus, a look back at this.
Bass in the backcourt. Bass racing up. Right side, no good. Virginia has done it.
Increased class size, cut back on programs.
The Albemarle Political Corner, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on Progressive Talk 1450.
We got 11 minutes before the hour of 6 o'clock here in Central Virginia. It's about 37 degrees. Going to be very cold tonight, down around 23 degrees tonight. So do me a favor and remember your critters out there. It's going to be a cold one. Tomorrow, only a high of about 40. We'll have a full weather report for you at the top of the hour after CBS News and local news. And remember, we got a situation on Earliesville Road. Traffic is shut down in both directions on Earliesville Road at Panorama Farms. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, and I apologize for cutting you off there. So you're saying that this is a big next step in this long story that the county has said, hey, you're sort of You're going rogue, City. You're going rogue. You need to get back here and get on message.
They're getting a little mavericky.
Yeah.
At least from the point of view of some Board of Supervisors members. And so, yeah, they're going to get together. We'll see where they are after that meeting.
Is that a public meeting?
It's sure, it's a public meeting.
Do they take comments?
Probably not at that one, no. That'll be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There'll be a whole lot of decision makers at the table, so they're not going to have time for public comment. It'll be a miracle if they can come to a consensus on where they are at this point.
Yeah.
But that said, they're getting together. That's probably a good thing for the community to have them all talking. But I want to go back to the task force on the reservoir, the South Fork Reservoir, because last week they had an important meeting where they brought in the dredging consultant, Gehagen and Bryant. That's the name of the firm. And that was a group that Citizens for a Sustainable Water Plan brought to the community and said, hey, will you look at this? Give us sort of a second opinion on dredging. And what I thought was interesting coming out of that meeting was that actually he didn't have a whole lot of new things to say. I mean, they came here in May, and he basically said the same thing he said in May. You need to study this, and you need to figure out why you're doing it. And so that, you know, people may have wanted him to say more. This is the consultant. But basically he said, you know, I can't put a cost on dredging because it depends too much on what the cost of fuel is. It depends too much on where the sediment is going to be placed. And so I thought that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting, he said it would take 18 months to do the feasibility study and get the permits before you could even start dredging. 18 months. And he couldn't give a total cost estimate. That said, Gehagen and Bryant and Gannett Fleming, the two consultants that have been involved to date on this question, do agree on what it would cost to get the muck out. They just don't agree with they're saying they don't have the answers now to where you'd have to put it.
Yeah.
And one of the places people have wanted to put it is up at the airport, right?
Yeah,
so there's been a lot of talk about
we'll dump it at the airport to extend their runway.
So they brought in the airport executive director to talk about that. Guess what she told him?
We don't want your dirt.
We don't want it because we found 2 million cubic yards of our own dirt.
Where?
At the airport.
They can dig a hole?
They're moving dirt around, and they're going to have 2 million cubic yards, and that's all they need.
Well, that's very resourceful.
So I thought that was quite interesting.
But we had that guy in here that day who said, you can dump it in my gorge.
Well, then there's still the possibility of pumping it to the quarry.
Yeah.
The quarry. Yeah. So I think that's still an option. But I would also point out that we've covered this ground, so to speak, on the airport thing back when Gehagen and Bryant first came in May. Because back in May, Gehagen and Bryant said it would not be cost effective to direct pump sediment to the airport. Too far, too expensive. And so, back in May, he was trying to take that off the table. I think the testimony of the airport executive director, regardless of how that conversation went before and what reasons they might have given, and they were giving reasons before, like, we're not sure about the timing of the runway. We're not sure if we can spend money on dirt.
Right.
There were lots of qualifying comments being made. But this one seems to put a nail in the coffin to me.
We don't airport.
Why would you buy dirt if you already have 2 million cubic yards of it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the airport's off the table.
You know what we need to do? We need to go back to Buck Mountain.
Well, that keeps getting brought up too. People are like, prove to me there's a spiny mussel there.
Yeah.
And
sounds like a sensible thing to say.
Yeah. Well, so I guess they'll be doing that too.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I think the folks in the city would like fully explored. And So what's happening next with this is that there will be this four boards meeting next week. The stewardship task force is going to keep meeting. They're meeting this week, and they're trying to pull together their recommendations about what to do with South Fork.
What's their final report do?
By the end of the year.
Okay.
And I expect they will say, if you want to dredge for water supply, then study it. And figure out what that would cost and where you're going to put the dirt.
More studies, just as you predicted.
And 3 weeks ago, I was in here saying, I predict 2009 will be the year of studies. And that's where we're heading right now. We'll see how this four-board meeting turns out. But one of the things that the city wanted in their resolution was a panel to oversee the panel that RWSA is pulling together to look at the dam. So
it's our new Meadow Creek Parkway, Brian.
They're going to have lots of experts.
It's the new Meadow Creek
weighing
Parkway
in on this.
Hey, what's this about Cracker Barrel now?
Oh, Cracker Barrel. So Will Yancey is represents the family trying to develop an industrial a business park out in Crozet.
Oh yeah,
wrapped around the Yancey Lumber Mill.
And the County Planning Commission said no, and then the Board of Supervisors said, "Well, maybe."
Yes. And they didn't say that. The supervisors sort of said, we'd like more information on that. And they're intrigued by the idea that it could help with their economic development goals. And they may breathe some new life into this project. But one of the concerns from Crozet growth area residents was, we don't want a commercial strip like what you see in Waynesboro, where you have a Cracker Barrel and a...
At the Crozet interchange.
Right. They don't want that kind of development at the interchange of 250 and 64 in Crozet. And Will Yancey, said to us when we interviewed him after they rejected consideration of his proposal, he said that's the last thing they want to do is put in anything like a Cracker Barrel. They're more interested in industrial, light industrial businesses and, offices, that kind of application.
What do people got against the Cracker Barrel?
Well, I couldn't tell you that, Coy, but the folks out
in Crozet. They got good grits, man.
The folks out in Crozet were not, at least the ones that spoke.
They just don't want a big commercial to entertains there.
At least the ones that spoke at the public hearing. And again, I point that out. The people that show up, make an impact on these things.
Yeah, they're the ones that are heard.
So
if you go to a meeting and speak up and put your name there and go up to that microphone, you will be the one that is heard.
So if you want a Cracker Barrel, you got to go ask for a Cracker Barrel.
Can you do this lawsuit story in 1 minute?
Yeah. Remember North Point?
And
remember,
I do. Remember 900 homes on 300
remember
acres.
Remember how we had that long discussion about
35,000 more cars on 29 every day.
You're good.
I do.
That was a long time ago, too.
Well,
anyway,
Brian Wheeler comes to visit me every Tuesday.
We had that little poo discussion. We were talking about having to pump the poo.
Yeah, they got no place to put it.
They got no place to put it. But that has not held Richard Spurzum back. He was the one who had a little piece of that development, wanted to get it going. And the Albemarle County Service Authority said, there's no place for the poo. We can't approve this thing.
Yeah.
And he said, fine. He resubmitted his plan. The county said, still not good enough. Although I think they said that for other reasons. But Spurzum has now taken him to court.
He's the developer is suing the county.
This is a story by Will Goldsmith in today's Seaville Weekly. So check that out. He's reporting that Spurzum is taking them to Albemarle County Circuit Court, saying that they should move forward and approve his plan. But I think even if they did approve it, the Albemarle County Service Authority, based on our reporting, says that little poo pipe is not going to be ready till August 2010. So there's a couple years here where there needs to be...
He wants to go ahead and build something, but there's no pipes for the
that's right.
Things that are in
the sewer
bathrooms.
Pipes. The sewer pipes.
Yeah.
The sewer capacity will not be there until, according to the Albemarle County Service Authority, until August 2010. And
there you go.
There's some work to be done on this one.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can check out all these stories online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Corey.
Y'all have a great night.
For over 400 years, the world-famous Lippis Honor Stallions have captured the imagination and excitement of the equestrian world. And now, you have the chance to see the Dancing White Stallions perform live and in person in a special anniversary edition.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.